Well, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have a mother, would we? And a little bit of that we're going to think about today, and I'm going to give enough room for that as well. But I thought it would be interesting to look at love today, the love of a mother, but obviously love that goes on within our church. So I wonder if somebody might like to read 1 Corinthians 13, which is our classic go-to in the Bible. There are many, many things and many places we can find love. But the header, which is man-made, says, love is the greatest gift, and it is the greatest gift that God gives us. If without God, we wouldn't know love, because God taught us how to love. So is there anyone here who would like to... Would you like to? Yeah? Yeah. I'll take the mic over.
This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you, Heather. Really well read. Now, I don't know how many, perhaps I'm just talking to the women here, how many of you were woken up with a cup of tea or a gesture of love by your children, or by someone who looks at you like a mother, because that also is the case. Some of us mother lots of people during our lives, but we're not actually their mother. But it's a wonderful thing to have love shown to you. And it's a question, it's got unquestionable merit. I often think of my own mother and how much my mother gave to me. And the Bible here speaks of love in a very pure form and says that love is the greatest gift that we can have. We know as a church that we have to love one another. We probably annoy each other or irritate each other sometimes, although we shouldn't really, because we don't see enough of each other. But there are times when conflict arises within churches, and there are times where we need to work that out and work it through. And we have the great gift of having elders as well in the church, and part of their work often, I'm sure Mike would agree, is to work out conflict between people who can't agree. So we have to remember about love covering the multitude of sins, because it's like a diamond that when the light goes through the prism, or the prism goes through the diamond, it will reflect out in many different ways. There are many different degrees of love. You might have a pet, but you're not going to love that pet like you love your parents. Having said that, I have heard people say, I'd rather work with animals than with people. And they direct their love in that way. So it's a very precious subject. I've bought today a picture, actually, of my mum, which I look at when I'm sitting down. It's right near my chair. My mother was an incredible mother. We lasted on very little money, but she managed to always produce a good dinner. She always got up and got ready for us to get ready for school. And thank you. Give her a bit of honour, stand her up. Sorted us out. My father was very ill, so she worked 3 jobs to keep the income coming in. I'm sure that's not unusual, that parents, and I'll say parents, not just mothers, sacrifice a lot. And so Christ sacrificed his life for us. God gave his one and only son to die on the cross so that we would have eternal life. And in that life, experience love. This is the other thing I have by the side of that photo. My mum made me laugh. She was a funny lady. She was kind, but she was very funny. And what I would like to do today is hear some experiences of mother's love. Now, I'm not assuming that everyone loved their mother, because mothers can be hard work as well, as we can as children. But we bear with each other. So I'm going to ask, I'm very privileged to have 2 people, one who's volunteered and one who's been volunteered. So I'm going to ask Susan to come up and speak about her mother's love.
Good morning. I'm actually going to speak about mother-in-laws, actually, although I am blessed to have my own mum at 95 living in the annex in our home, which is lovely. But I'm actually going to talk about mother-in-laws, of which I've had 2. And one of them you know well, because you know dear Kath, Steve's mum. And I actually met her before I married my first husband. So I met Kath as a member of Plumpsea Christian Fellowship with Steve and his late wife Julie, Kath and her husband Ron, Steve's dad, and many other people. And it was a wonderful fellowship. Lots of love was shown. It was a wonderful charismatic church. And I came to it when I was first teaching in Woolwich, age 22, and I'd only been a Christian 4 years. And when I met my first mother-in-law, Val, who sadly passed away but went to be with the Lord last November, I remember thinking, oh, she's not like Kath, because Kath was the epitome, as we know, of warmth and friendliness and that lovely smile. And I knew her just as a friend at that stage. But it was funny because she ended up being my second mother-in-law. But when I met my first mother-in-law, and that was in about 1989, I think it was, she was quite fashionable and a little bit swish. And I thought, oh, I feel a little bit undone by that. And I thought, oh, she's not like Kath, like cozy, and I felt comfortable. But obviously Val loved the Lord, and she was a wonderful mother-in-law. And I continued to be friends with her right up until she passed away. We saw her, Steve and I, in the week that she died. And although my first marriage broke up in rather tragic circumstances, the first question I said to my first husband was, I can still see Val, can't I? And he said, of course, because she always says I was the daughter she didn't have. And then when I married Steve, Val came to the wedding. Imagine how hard that must have been. She came to the wedding, she came up to us, she put her hands on us and blessed us and prayed over us. And from that point on, she treated Steve as if he was her son and me as if I was her daughter. And it reminds me of that verse that says, honour the older women as mothers, and the younger women treat as your dear sisters with utmost purity. That's 1 Timothy 5, verse 2. Because obviously, when we have our faith, we can have many mothers, father figures, brothers, sisters, friends in the Lord, can't we? We are all brothers and sisters to each other. So Val continued to be a great inspiration. She was a great prayer intercessor. She was always reaching out to others, and she extended her home to anybody. At 3 different times, she would have someone living with her that had no parental figure. She'd just take them in for months and say, come and live with me. What a wonderful big heart. And she would share money. We had this rule when I was her daughter-in-law that we wouldn't worry about paying each other back. She said, it's all money, it's all in the family. She didn't have loads, but she was like, oh, don't worry, well, you pay for that, I'll pay for this. So money became nothing because we just shared it, and that was lovely. And she shared her car, and that really surprised me because my dad was very proud of his car. He wouldn't have shared his car. But Val was like, no, you have my car, and now I share my car. And I was thinking, oh, I've become like the next generation up in the sharing. But she set such a wonderful example. And coming back to Kath, my second mother-in-law, what a wonderful example of kindness, of hospitality, of gentleness, and her lovely smile. And now I've adopted Steve's late wife's mum, Iris, as another mother-in-law. And she is inspirational because she's so prayerful. Now, Iris is 89 now. Sadly, she's now widowed. But she said to me, every day, Susan, I just give the day to the Lord. And I say, Lord, you know what's going to happen. You know what I'm going to need. And I thought, what a lovely example. We could all do with doing that, giving everything. Even the other day, Iris said, I said to the Lord, I could do with my grass being cut today. And then Paul, who we know, Paul Reeve, her gardener, came that day. Steve said to her, I'm glad Paul was listening to the Lord then, so that he came. But rather than ask Paul to come and do her garden, she just asked the Lord, and Paul came. So I thought, what a wonderful example. And she said to me, I talk to the Lord all day. And I thought, that's lovely, isn't it? We can learn so much off our older women, whether they're actually related to us or whether they're just further on with the Lord, further on in their life. And I love learning things and hearing other people's stories. I'm going to finish by reading a WhatsApp that Josephine sent. Now, it's actually aimed at women over 50, but I think it bears us all applying it to our own situation. So she sent this round on International Women's Day. And it's not written by Josephine, but she circulated it. I just thought it really is a good thing to think. My mother always said getting older was a privilege denied to many. To all of my female friends from 50 years and up, most of us are going through a challenging phase of our lives. We're at that age where we see wrinkles, grey hair, and extra pounds. We've run households, had careers, raised families, paid the bills, dealt with sickness, sadness, grief, and everything else life has assigned us. We are survivors. We are warriors in the quiet. We are women, aged like a classic car or a fine wine. Even if our bodies are not what they once were, they carry our histories, our souls, our courage, and our strength. We should never feel bad about getting older. It's a privilege that is denied to so many. Enjoy every minute. And just to finish, it's lovely to know that the Lord can make all relationships new. So if your relationship with your mother is or was difficult, then do reach out to the Lord and ask him to help you, because he is able to restore and meet you in that place. And remember, if you find these days difficult, remember what Kevin said last week about Hephzibah. My delight is in her. The Lord's delight is in us. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susan. I've learned a bit through that, actually. Now, we thought we ought to get a man involved at this stage, in case you're feeling isolated. So, we have got a lovely guy here going to read about a famous mother in the Bible. Thank you.
Once, after they had eaten their meal in Shiloh, Hannah got up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair near the entrance to the Lord's house. Hannah was so sad that she cried and prayed to the Lord. She made a promise, saying, "Lord, all-powerful, see how sad I am. Remember me and don't forget me. If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you all his life, and no one will ever cut his hair with a razor." While Hannah kept praying, Eli watched her mouth. She was praying in her heart, so her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "Stop getting drunk, throw away your wine." Hannah answered, "No, sir, I have not drunk any wine or beer. I am a deeply troubled woman, and I was telling the Lord about all my problems. Don't think I am an evil woman. I have been praying because I have many troubles and am very sad." Eli answered, "Go. I wish you well. May the God of Israel give you what you had asked of him. Hannah said, "May I always please you." When she left and ate something, she was not sad anymore. Early in the next morning, Elkanah's family got up and worshipped the Lord. Then they went back home to Ramah. Elkanah had sexual relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So Hannah became pregnant, and in time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "His name is Samuel because I asked the Lord for him." Every year Elkanah went and his whole family to Shiloh to offer sacrifices and to keep the promise he had made to God. But one year Hannah did not go with him. She told him, "When the boy is old enough to eat solid food, I will take him to Shiloh. Then I will give him to the Lord, and he will always live there."
So here we have an example of a mother making an oath to God, promising that if she did have a child, that that child would go and would live with priest Eli and would be brought up in the house of the Lord and be trained. And we know that she did go to see him. She took a new coat for him every year. I'm sure she missed him, but she made an oath and she kept to that oath. It always touches my heart when I think of this story, because I know how much, on a personal level, we were waiting for a baby to come. My daughter-in-law had lost 3 children in the womb, and it was a second child, and then this baby came, baby Charlie. And during the time we were waiting for him, I promised that I would bring him up and instruct him in the way of the Lord. I wasn't going to give him to a temple. It's not my right to do that. But I do want all of the grandchildren and my children to know the Lord. And I'm sure the people sitting here, many of us know there are people in our family who are yet to know the Lord and be instructed in his ways. So it's always good to keep them in prayer and to promise the Lord that we will continue to do that it can be difficult. Sometimes children don't want to come and know about Jesus, but we need to persevere in that. And she wanted what was best for him. She knew it was best for him to go there. And it must have been a great joy as she saw him grow. And Samuel was a prophet. There are two books of the Bible, Samuel 1, Samuel 2. Originally, I think it was just one book, but it was split. And the second book doesn't actually, I think, mention Samuel. But we know he was a prophet, and we know that he went on to do great things for the Lord. Many lives have been affected by people reading those scriptures. So that was just the beginning of it, promising to give him to the Lord. We've also got McQuinn, who would like to come and talk to us about his mother. And then after that, we're just going to find out the history of these two funny cakes sitting on the piano with 11 bobbles of marzipan on top of them. It's a mystery, but we're going to have the mystery found out soon. So Mike's going to tell us about that, then we're going to eat them. They came by Amazon. They're slightly dented, but I'm sure we'll enjoy them. And let's welcome up McQuinn, and at the end we're going to sing a wonderful hymn as well.
Happy Mother's Day to our ladies. Did I have a mother? Of course I did. Sometimes when I remember her, I keep wondering if others had a woman or have a woman that is like her. Born Esther Marton, Esther Mayer, not Marton. Marton is my dad's dad. I grew up seeing her taking care of 11 lives, including hers. She was the cook, the cleaner. She was the fashion designer. She was the disciplinarian and a guiding angel. With hindsight, she was a shy woman. Had a smile for everybody outside. And her stern look was only reserved for her children. And when she looks at you, you may be doing something wrong. So you better stop it. I would have actually appreciated me being asked questions, because otherwise you let me, I will just go on and on and on. I've been cautioned though. That I have. She would have been about 102 now. She was a hard-working woman, caring, and with hindsight also, very, very supportive to her husband. I have never had a situation where my dad says, this should be done and she comes to bring in an alternative. No matter how good the alternative may be. Yeah, that's it. And it has to be. When my dad died, it broke her. Well, they brought Christianity to my village, and eventually, when I was about 20, she took me to where their house used to be, and in that place was a dispensary. And of course, as a teacher, as our teacher, she was the first person that started telling us Bible stories. She will pray for us. My dad was a priest, and that is why they now brought Christianity and built a church on their ancestral land. Of course, every Sunday you have to go to church. Midweek you have to go for, we used to have a boys' brigade. She will send us there. And so on. I do miss her. Now, because we were 7 boys and 2 girls that came after me, so you had to learn to cook. She taught us to cook. Particularly, a sister here mentioned some delicacy that I used to enjoy, and I try to make it these days, but it's difficult to actually get the taste that I used to get from mommy's cooking. It is a kind of dried meat with a kind of ground sesame seed and olive oil. She mixes it up nicely, and incidentally, it has a name almost similar to what the sister mentioned. Actually, Sister Heather. She mentioned something like bibble, and we have that bibble. We used to make bibble, and that was my most, you know, delicious meal that I always used to like. She's gone now. And sometimes I see her in my wife. In fact, most times. And I am standing here today. Of course, it will be because of her. There are very, very few things, if any, that are as powerful as the prayer of a righteous and loving mother. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother McQueen. So we're going to come to a close now, but before we do that, Mike's going to explain a little something. We'll sing a song and have a prayer. But it would be very good if you could help me afterwards. I visit a nursing home or two, and in those nursing homes, some women don't have any visitors. There's about 6 that don't actually have any visitors, and they're mothers, most of them. And I just wondered, there's some craft on the back. I'm not expecting the men to do lots of flowery things, but if anyone would like to either, there are some small picture frames that can be coloured in, or people can put photos, or there are other things like decorating a card or something like that that can be given with a few words or a scripture in it. I would love to be able to give those out this week to those women who are visitorless. And I just wondered also if the men might gather and pray about the unity within our church here, the love we have to share for each other and care for each other. So I don't want to over-organise anybody, but if you would like to do that afterwards, I would very much appreciate that we could pray for the love and the unity of our church, but also produce something I can give out in the week. Thank you very much. Mike, you're just going to explain.
There's all sorts of nonsense talked about Simnel Cake. I'll deal with the nonsense first. The actual origins of Simnel Cake go right back into medieval times. And it's thought that the original Simnel Cake was boiled and baked for some reason that's probably lost in the clouds of history. And so somebody came up with this spurious story about a couple called Simon and Nell. And they were making a cake, but they couldn't agree whether they should bake it or boil it. And so they did two cakes. One was baked, one was boiled. They were put together. And they were called Simnel Cake. That's rubbish. But that legend has been around since 1745, actually. And it's not true. So how Simnel Cake comes into the whole Lent thing is a little bit more clearer, because this Sunday, it's the fourth Sunday in Lent, okay? There are six Sundays in Lent. And so this is the middle Sunday. So it's sometimes called Mid-Lent Sunday. And the idea was that, you know, if you were having a really heavy fasting time, because Lent originally would have been people fasting, you know, all the way through Lent, and not eating all sorts of things, and, you know, generally having a pretty rubbish time, I think, doing that, you know. And so Mid-Lent Sunday was the opportunity to sort of have some refreshment. And so it's also known as Refreshment Sunday. But the Simnel Cake stuff comes from the times, probably in the, I don't know, 18th, maybe 19th century, when children left home quite early and went into service in big houses. And so, you know, they'd go and be maids or scullery maids or gardeners or whatever, what have you. And so when it got to this Mid-Lent Sunday, the practice was that the children should all go home to visit their mums, and they should take a cake to give to their mums. And that was where the whole idea of Simnel Cake on Mothering Sunday came in. Now, why it was Simnel Cake, I don't know. There's not anything about that written down anywhere. But that was the idea. And so the kids would go home who were out in service, because they lived in these big houses, and they would go home and they would take a cake to their mums to just to... Because probably a lot of their mums wouldn't have had a lot of food. They were probably coming from fairly poor sort of homes. And so to take a nice sort of cake would be a great way to encourage them. And the church picked up on this idea. And of course, some people think of church as Mother Church. And so the whole idea of Refreshment Sunday, Simnel Cake, and all that sort of stuff, it came into this idea of Mother Church. And so the church picked up on the idea of giving Simnel Cake out to people, because so it was the opposite way around. They were giving it out to the sort of children, if you like, who were the members of the congregation. But actually it started with the children giving it to their mums and encouraging them like that.
We're going to... finish with a hymn. I wonder if we could really give it some welly. This is a wonderful hymn, and Mike is going to play for us. So if you'd like to stand, we're going to project that hymn now.
Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks for all your blessings to us. Particularly today, we give thanks for the blessings of our mothers and for those who have been mothers to us. Spiritual mothers, physical mothers. And we thank you for the love that is shared amongst us. And Lord, we just pray that you will give us your blessing as we conclude this service. May the Father, from whom every family on earth and in heaven receives its name, strengthen you in his spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Do go and enjoy some cake. If you don't